Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of Lorwan is Bob Hampe, president and CEO of Actol, a company that spent nearly three decades building staff safety and real-time location systems for jails, prisons, and behavioral health facilities, some of the most demanding RF environments on the planet. Bob runs Lorwan backwards from most deployments. Lots of data, short distances, always on the air, and entirely on-prem, because his customers can't touch the cloud. In this conversation, we get into how a supplier's end-of-life notice pushed Actol onto Lorwan in the first place, how his team makes a miss-nothing safety system work on a protocol designed to tolerate missed packets, and the strategy behind rescuing Bosch's orphan security escort customers, first with software, then with native Lorwan locating hardware that triangulates without Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about Lorwan. If you'd like to try Helium's publicly available global Lorwan for free, head over to the Medeo Scientific Console, spin up an account, and get your first device connected. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Bob Hampe. Bob, thanks so much for coming on the show. Super excited to have you.
Great to see you, Nick.
I mean, it's been a while. We met in, I think, Barcelona, maybe a year or two ago?
It was Barcelona, the IoT conference out there.
Yeah, that was fun. I felt like you and I were kind of the out-of-place Americans there because it's such a Eurocentric thing.
I actually enjoyed that conference a lot, and I hope to go back at some point.
Yeah. I mean, the food is excellent, as well as all the technology there.
The food was beyond reproach, right?
So when we started talking, you know, I had come into LoRaWAN looking to optimize for distance and these crazy long things through the Helium side. You came to LoRaWAN from almost the opposite side. Can you talk to me about how you found it or how you used it? What's your involvement with LoRaWAN?
Absolutely. We came from exactly the other side. We had a product that we had introduced in 2012 with a 900 megahertz radio system. It worked very well. The guys that we were buying the radio from were bought by Laird about 2017 or so. So 5 years in after this big investment, Laird buys them and decide they don't want to do this anymore. And sends us a not so nice letter that they're going to end of life it. And final buy is there. And while we bought enough for a number of years, we needed to find a platform that worked for us. And 900 was particularly important, that piece of the spectrum, because from a field engineering standpoint, we know how it worked in the facilities we wanted to be in.
Yep.
We could have jumped to a number of products that were out there readily available in the marketplace. But I didn't want to have to go through the pain, honestly, both economic and brainwave pain of transferring again. And LoRaWAN offered not only a product at that frequency, as you know, but a multiplicity of module suppliers and silicon manufacturers. Now, we gave up a fair bit too, because bandwidth-wise, we kind of used LoRaWAN on its head. LoRaWAN, of course, is designed for little bits of information long distances. We send relatively a lot of information short distances and are on the air constantly. So it's not particularly designed for what it is we want to do. We had to go through a lot of kind of on-the-job training and learning on figuring out how to make it work for us.
And how did you guys figure that out? Was that something where you were working with the LoRa Alliance, or was that just, hey, we got a bunch of nerds, you guys go figure it out?
No, it was, I mean, we're pretty smart guys. At the time, we had, a hardware-centric engineering team with extremely smart people and basically banged our head against the wall until we got it to work to where we want. We started with actually on private networks using the multi-tech LoRaWAN private network and found we couldn't make it work the way we'd want it to work. We need to be in touch with our devices all the time, right? It's a secure environment. If, unlike LoRaWAN, if I'm missing a moisture meter out in the middle of Ghana somewhere and I happen to miss 8 hours of transmissions, I could probably average both ends of that and make it work for my application. We need to know immediately when something goes down, right? We have to know and be able to get the facility to react to that.
Which is pretty unusual for LoRaWAN, because usually the pitch is like, hey, you should use this if you are okay with missing a couple packets, but most of the time you're going to get this long battery life and it's most of the time going to be reliable and rugged.
Yeah.
And you guys are the opposite. Like, nope, we need it every time. It's got to work. It's got to be super fast.
100%.
One of your pitches is like, hey, we're the fastest RTLS, which is real-time location, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that real-time locating systems have kind of been bastardized for a while. It's used for a number of things. We are locating tags. Most of our tags are used as a staff safety device in secure environments.
Yep.
The application itself is on-prem. So we have to by definition, do everything there. Our core markets, which are behavioral health, jails and prisons and courts, don't entirely embrace the cloud as of yet.
Right.
Right. I mean, the worst thing for them is to this kind of fear they go through over the weekend that they're going to find a YouTube video that was filmed on Saturday night in one of their facilities published in a not so ingratiating way.
Sure.
And the cloud doesn't work for them. So not only do we have an application that could probably do some amazing things through the cloud, but we're using a backbone transmission protocol that has, by design, a fair bit of overhead that's useless to us. Right?
Yeah. But
listening back and forth to devices, battery operated devices, is difficult. Right? It's very defined. It is a specific window. And if you're missing that window, you're going to churn through and use more battery than maybe you want to.
And so for the, not that there are average listeners listening to this because they're all LoRaWAN nerds, but for someone who might like pass this on to their wife, like, oh, check this out. The basic idea is that you've got tags on the various guard security personnel. Like, what's the name or what's the term for them?
Security officers. Now, a lot of these facilities, honestly, we probably tag more non-custody officers, non-custody employees than we do custody employees. There are a lot of these facilities, especially in core corrections, have been evolving to cover a fairly wide need for behavioral health. And that means we're having nurses, we're having counselors, we're having administrators, and we're applying more of that. And the custody officer piece, while it's important to us, is actually just kind of an add-on. Most of the people that we're covering in a facility don't have anything to do with being a custody officer. They're there to improve the overall result of the facility.
Got it. And so they're wearing a tag, and the tag's got a button on it, and just a duress button, yeah. Like, hey, there's a problem. I need some help.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
It's just got a button on it. The locating side, at least at the moment, works on 2.4 industrial radio from TI. We've stayed historically away from Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, mostly because when we made the decision to go to that frequency for locating and really kind of use that frequency's downside in that architecture as a plus for us, right? I mean, it gets kind of maintained in the room naturally. Think of these facilities that we work in as just a series of Faraday cages. The most important, you know, people in RTLS will sell you on whether or not your 3 meters, your sub-meter accuracy, your 2 meter accuracy. In most of the facilities that we work in, that term doesn't make any sense, right? I need to know you're in this room because the pathway that I took to get to that room locks behind me. So if I'm on the opposite side of a wall, but inside that kind of plus or minus 3 meter thing,
who cares?
Yeah. I could be in a totally different deal and somebody is being attacked. Right?
Yeah.
We need to be able to provide the right answer, not necessarily a granular answer. So the 2.4 piece is there. I think BLE is probably, you'll see us move to BLE over the next few years because it's evolved in and of itself. When we started first doing this, BLE was, you know, headphones. Really, it was really about it, right? And it really wasn't that advanced. We'll start moving away from the CC2500 into BLE because it's more available, right? I mean, there's a lot of great BLE manufacturers, even from some of the LoRaWAN vendors. But that transmission goes up to a locator. That locator picks up through a very directional antenna by design. It'll pick up that transmission, and we kind of sort through on an ongoing basis where you're at. So when that event comes in from the alarm, we already know in a table where that tag is and can reference that back right away.
The whole thing is so cool. It's like, oh, let's take this technology that works really well for us, but wasn't designed for this, and we'll make it do a super useful thing.
It's gotten better. Kudos to Oren. We've gotten Oren Brokar kind of coming in on a consulting basis now and again to help us kind of understand. Well, as I said before, we moved away from a multi-text private network tool to a open network. So in our locating engine, you get a full installation of Chirp Stack. And we're processing all that information that way. But there's still little tweaks that we can do that aren't particularly public, or we can make changes to the original designed software to help our network process things faster, to help talk better.
And do you find that in corrections tech, I mean, in everything else that I've touched in LoRaWAN and in ag or whatever, oil and gas, like everybody knows about LoRaWAN. It's one of the things that they're like, oh yeah, we use that. I don't know anything about corrections tech. Is that something where like, oh yeah, that's also the same thing?
No. Like everywhere, there's some nerds that get it. One of the things that we haven't really implemented yet, because it's not really on demand on the customer side, is the ability to use that plethora of LoRaWAN vendors to add additional functionality into that ecosystem. So now you've got a staffed arrest system that runs on a LoRaWAN backbone. We can put sensors out there. We can give you open door alarms. And we've done that with some of our people. Now, I don't particularly want to have people going on, just jumping on the web and buying sensors and throwing them in there, right?
We
need to have some gating factors so we make sure we're not affecting the core safety application.
Yep.
But by and large, we're leaning pretty heavily on the LoRaWAN hardware community to provide our customers additional functionality for a standard that they're already employing. All the way down to, you'd be surprised how much is automated in corrections, all the way down to toilet valves that have monitors on them throughout the facility. One of the big things in retrofitting that is wiring. So we've got kind of a sister, it's not really a sister company, but a partner company that wants us to help them work LoRaWAN into communicating back over our network, back to their head end as well.
Interesting.
I mean, if the network's there, why don't we do it? As long as we're not degrading performance, let's find a way to put everything we can on.
Yeah. It's such a weird, it's an unusual adversarial environment where you can't just put a thing in and think like, oh, no one's going to touch this thing. Like, they're not even going to look at it. Like, everywhere you go, I'm sure that humans are super curious whether they're inside or outside.
Yeah. It is adversarial is well put. It is, there's a lot of design elements that go into what we do physically and what we do from a software and transmission standpoint that we have to think through probably like nobody else in LoRaWAN is, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the fascinating things. Yeah.
When we go and talk to people at a LoRaWAN conference, hint, hint, which I miss very much. I wish we'd get back to doing that. It's, I kind of explain where we're going. They kind of look at you sideways. Like,
yeah. Wait, what are you doing? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Why would you do that? We've been in the business of RTLS, right? Staff safety. And initially just staff safety for 27, 30 years, right? I mean, it's been a long time. And it was only in the last 20 or so that we've gotten around to, hey, listen, we're gonna add other location-based intelligence and sensor features to it. And we're really kind of hitting our stride on that now.
It's super cool to see. Let's talk through, I think one of the coolest things is Orphan Base's strategy. Do you want to walk me through either the HubSense or the Bosch or how those two interconnect? And let people know, like, oh, here's the cool thing we're doing.
We all know Bosch, right? Either from a home appliance or to something on the security side, they still have a pretty big security footprint. But Bosch in 2022 decided that they were going to end of life their competitive product. Bosch and Actol have been competitors in complex architecture for this functionality for the better part of 25 years. We competed head to head in North America. Bosch pretty well owned most of Australia because their team that put this together was from Singapore, kind of easy to get to, and they're a global company. We weren't a global company. Our footprint is 100% North American with a smattering of things in the Middle East. But when they announced it was that they were going to end of life it, there were a number of projects going on in Australia that had been specified for that particular product that were in construction when it was end of life. And you've got a pretty significant investment there amongst all the states in Australia, all the states here in North America and provinces in Canada. When you're faced with now a rip and replace type of question, you're talking about millions of dollars, right? For a brownfield retrofit installation. We jumped on that. We were probably less expensive for a rip and replace because we use the same power supplies. You could put our devices in a lot of the same locations, maybe not all of them. But by and large, you would have to change your specification to go from coordinate-based to zonal-based. We stuck with that for a better part of a year and a half, 2 years, and realized we weren't solving the problem. The biggest problem that that Bosch customers had was the head-end software that ran to determine the location on that was only certified through Windows 8, right? So you've got IT directors going, hang on. I'm sorry, if this box goes down, you're telling me I have to go find a Windows 7 or Windows 8 box. And so the problem to solve today, if you're going to triage the assortment of issues that are in front of you, the biggest one is that. We pivoted in December of 2024. I came back, had some meetings in Victoria, Australia, and had some meetings there to kind of dig down to that with the customers, and came back to our team and went, what do you think of this idea? Because our core software, HubSense, had been written to ingest our legacy systems, right? Our old IR Inovonic system, our now layered zonal-based RF product system. So we had that structure there to do it. What we didn't have is any sort of knowledge. We'd hired Bosch guys since 2022. So we were kind of providing Bosch support anyways, and have become kind of the de facto Bosch security escort team, right? If you call Bosch today and say, I need security escort support, they'll send you to us.
Oh, that's cool. And it sounds like you've managed that relationship pretty well, where it was, you guys are competitors. I mean, this is all, I always hope people are like this. And you say like, hey, there's a problem to solve. We want to continue to provide value. Here's how we think we're going to do it. And they, it sounds like they said like, yeah, great.
They did. They didn't take it as far as we'd like. I mean, we wanted to buy the end of life program from them. And that proposal sits on a lawyer in Frankfurt's desk today. I mean, they just didn't answer with it. The APAC team was behind it. The North American team was behind it. Put the whole proposal together. It makes it to Germany and crickets.
Yeah,
it's crickets, even today. And so that part's a little frustrating. But by and large, they've gotten out of the way and kind of allowed us to service that customer base. The customer base has been appreciative. And what we've done with basically no documentation is not fundamentally different than what we did to get involved with LoRaWAN, right? Put the headphones on, nose down to the desk, and our team has figured out how to talk to those devices and kind of rebuilt that serial data protocol that they have out there. We know what it is now. And so we've got a piece of software. You simply got a whole evaluation program where you put the two pieces of software next to each other. You can see them operating. We're mirroring a connection from a broker client we put in there, and you can see how they operate. You can take Bosch offline and see us talk directly to it. And you make the commercial decision at that point in time, whether or not you want to spend a small amount of money or millions of dollars changing out your stuff. It's up to you. But to me, it becomes pretty simple. The next step from that is to actually build hardware that does essentially what Bosch Security Escort does, right? Same places, same communication protocol. Their core product for years was at 304. We're not going to rebuild 304 things, but they had a new product come out at 433. We'll land at either LoRaWAN 900 or LoRaWAN 433. But at that point in time, we're actually going to be locating LoRaWAN devices on a local network without Bluetooth, without Wi-Fi, without anything. We'll triangulate on LoRaWAN radios.
Yeah, it's a super cool strategy.
I'm not sure how much market there is in the LoRaWAN world for that, because a lot of times in LoRaWAN, typical LoRaWAN deployments, the devices are so far apart and they're already marked from a GPS standpoint. But rather than going Bluetooth to, in fact, the guy that we were talking to that was talking when we met in Barcelona, I think it was a guy from Taiwan that was doing some water metering work in Hong Kong. We can locate those devices natively.
Oh, interesting.
Through our software. So rather than having a Bluetooth device that's communicating a little bit like we do, right? A Bluetooth device that's communicating to a LoRaWAN network, then you're taking that information and determining location. We'll be able to do it with a native LoRaWAN device. Now, granularity is, it's not like GPS, for God's sakes, right? I mean, it'll be multi-meter. I think the Bosch spec was originally plus or minus 5 to 15 meters. The guys in Australia have gotten it down to a meter or two, just through the guys, the channel, the integrators. We'll give a product that's very similar to that, but native LoRaWAN.
Oh, that's right. I think it was Henry Wang we were talking to at BroAM. So it's super cool to see all these kind of convergences on solving that similar problem in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, we'd started working on the algorithm to locate this stuff back then. And we're actually working on it before we pivoted to a software-first solution. We were going to offer up a hardware-first solution that, but in addition to our zonal product, you could have this coordinate-based product, and had started deploying it here in the office and then pivoted the software first. So once our software launches, and that should be end of August, beginning of September is when the final sign-off, I think, in Australia is. It'll launch here in the US as well. We'll immediately go into support mode on that and then forward engineering on a LoRaWAN hardware locating product.
That's rad. For folks who are listening to this who are in the LoRaWAN biz, is there anything that you guys have either questions on or you're looking to get out of the LoRaWAN community? Or do you think you're going to be hiring soon? Like, what is it? what does it look like that the community can do either to learn more or to support what you guys are doing?
Well, we're certainly hiring soon, but a lot of that is on the software side, right? I mean, we're going to be leaning into the LoRaWAN and BLE native hardware market pretty hard, right? I mean, ideally, we will build what we need to build. Our gateways will come from standard hardware, LoRaWAN hardware vendors. Our core network operation software is ChirpStack. We're extremely happy with it. Certainly knowing ChirpStack experts all the way up to the top, absolutely, we want to talk to you either in a consulting standpoint or an employee standpoint. Our ability to kind of manage that and exploit what we can to make it work for us and to kind of think out of the box. It's kind of a fun exercise because you go, all right, listen. So we bought this really cool thing over here that does this. We want you to do this.
Yeah.
How can we get from here to there? It's been a hell of a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. I love the whole thing of starting with software and then migrating the customers into this idea of hardware as well. It's just super smart and long-term and the kind of thinking of.
I mean, the idea is, listen, if I've got a LoRaWAN backbone, no matter what frequency it is, I can put a zonal product together with a coordinate-based product, with a fixed location product, and you can have whatever it needs. Because one of the problems the RTLS business has had over years is we're marketing guys, right? Our marketing guys have driven the fact that this way of locating is the best way of locating in every environment and in every case. And that's even in one facility, that's not the case.
Right.
Right. We offer ultrasonic solutions. We offer RF solutions. We have an old IR solution that with the software, if somebody wants it, they can do it. We have Inovant. You can put in fixed point Inovonics transmitters. You can put in fixed point LoRaWAN transmitters. Whatever it is that juices you up,
yep.
If you want to come to us, we'll at some point in time, I would imagine with the coordinate based product, we'll start using submeter accuracy if we have a demand for it.
Sure.
And today, that candidate would be Bluetooth angle of array. We'll figure out how to ingest it into our system and take all these disparate hardware technologies and produce a single API out to whoever's managing that on the other side of us.
It's super, super rad to see LoRaWAN get used in all kinds of places. Bob, thanks a ton for making the time. I know you're super busy. It's taken a while for us to get this thing on here, so I'm super stoked to have you on. Thanks again for coming on.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. If you want to go deeper and actually deploy devices, the Medio Scientific Console is the fastest way to do that. And honestly, it's also the best way to support the show. When you use the console, you're not just listening, you're participating in the same real-world LoRaWAN work we talk about here every week. You can get started with a free trial at medioscientific.com. Huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation, for supporting open LoRaWAN infrastructure worldwide. Check them out at helium.foundation. And if the show's been useful, a quick rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this really helps people find it and helps the show grow so we can help more people. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next episode.